This week's episode is also brought to you by SeatGeek. SeatGeek is a better, more transparent experience while purchasing tickets to your favorite team's sporting events. SeatGeek also has a price match guarantee, and the only thing it can't guarantee is your favorite team winning, especially if it's our case scenario because we're Rutgers fans, and that doesn't really happen often. So go over to SeatGeek, use code CFBTD at checkout for $20 off your first purchase. Again, that's CFBTD at checkout for $20 off your first purchase.
Fit to take off on spaceship. Got these hoes like Matrix. And fucking her unless she nameless. Cause the last two was too famous. We got that trophy like a champion. Fell asleep right on the jet, we gone.
Big rings just like a champion. No TSA, hop on a jet, we gone.
Welcome back to another edition of This Week in College Football, brought to you by CFB Talk Daily. Today is Friday, June 28th, which means that we are one season away from college football season. We just got to get through the summer and fall time's here, boys, and we are ready to roll. Pretty pumped for it.
Get ready. I can't wait.
Just a little quick hit on this. Last week we had some problems with our audio with the SEC East, so that is going to drop some point this weekend. By itself that are just come out as an SEC preview. We're going to do the same thing with the Big 12 that will drop about Monday around that time. Those will drop by themselves. They won't be included in episodes, and then we'll get back on it, get the audio fixed up, and the ACC will be done just like the regular conferences we've done. So today we don't have any conferences. We have the first of three top 25s. So we're actually just going to start with our top 25s, and we're going to do one a week, and we're going to start with Michael. Since you're the new guy on the show, we'll let you have the first go around at it. So, Mike, if you want to give us the top 10 first, and then we'll have a conversation about the top 10.
All right, so the top 10 for me was actually pretty easy. Obviously, you're going to have your reigning national champion, Clemson, at number one, followed by the team who they beat at Alabama. Number three, I have Georgia, followed by Oregon at four. Number five, Oklahoma. Number six, Texas. They are back, if you haven't realized. Number seven, LSU. Number eight, Ohio State. Number nine, Notre Dame. And number 10, Michigan. A lot of reports I've seen have Ohio State ranked up in the 4 to 6 range. I have them at eight. I think it's a little easier for me because they have a new quarterback in there. It's going to be a different kind of – I mean, it's a similar kind of offense, but it's a quarterback that's never really played in a meaningful game, and he's going to go right in there, and you're going to, like, preseason rank him at number four. To me, that's a little high. So I feel like number eight's a good spot for Ohio State. What do you guys think?
John, you can go first.
All right. Well, I think I'm just looking at your list, the top ten here. I think it's actually pretty solid. I would have Notre Dame maybe outside my top 10. I think I'm going to have them in my 12 to 15 range. I think I'd also, even though I'm an Oregon, I'm the Oregon fan here, I think I'd have Oregon around where you have Ohio State at 8. But other than that, everything else looks pretty good. I would just move everyone else up one and just put Oregon at like 7 or 8.
I mean, with Notre Dame, I figure they have a quarterback coming back in Ian Book. Basically, like we said, they're not in a conference, so they're guaranteed about 4 easy wins. So it's just going to come crunch time to whether if they can win the bigger games, I guess. So going into the season, looking at the strength of schedule, number 9 looks pretty good.
No, yeah. I mean, I don't really have, like, any problem. Like I said, I'd have them around, like, 12, so it's only 3 more spots down. Like,
all right.
Brady, what do you think,
Matt? 15?
Yeah, so when I was going through Washington, I originally had them really high up around like the 7-8 range. But then I'm thinking, and they're going to play Oregon. They're going to have all these major games they're going to play, and they lost their quarterback. And it's not a knock on Jacob Eason. He's a phenomenal player. But there's going to be a new transition to a new quarterback. So for me, I just had to lower them a little bit. It's a comfortable area. It's not too high, not too low. So. Yeah. All right. So I'll go 16 through 20 here. I got Kentucky at 16. At 17, I have Iowa, the Hawkeyes.
Mike Quick. So, Mike, what do you have for a 16 to 25?
All right, so 16 I have Kentucky. They're just below Penn State after even though they won in their bowl game. So 16 is Kentucky, 17 is Iowa, 18 is Utah, 19 will be Michigan State, and 20 is going to be a shocker to a lot of people. It's Army.
Okay. I like Kentucky because I know you had them as, I think, 10 wins. So I'm pretty glad you have them in there. I like Iowa at 17. I think Utah might be they're probably going to be in the Pac-12 championship game. I don't think Michigan State's going to be that high for me, but I also like Army. You know, we interviewed their quarterback, Kelvin Hopkins, and I think they finished the season ranked last year, so they'll probably start off ranked again this year. So what do you have for 21 through 25?
Yeah, so 21 through 25, I really struggled with this because there was legitimately 12 teams that could have been in this spot. So for 21, I have Mississippi State. 22 is Iowa State. Number 23 is Texas Tech. 24 is Syracuse. And then 25 is Wisconsin.
Okay, so I like Syracuse at 24. I'd probably move them up to around 23. I think I would drop Texas Tech out of my top 25. But you have a list of teams that didn't make the cut, right? Like a few.
Yeah, so like even with Texas Tech, I thought – I'm a big Alan Bowman fan, so I think he's going to light it up there. But the teams that just missed my cut in no particular order would be Boston College, Florida Atlantic, Baylor, Memphis, Boise State, Stanford, and then Northwestern.
Yeah, I think the last three of those teams, Stanford, Boise, and Northwestern, I'd probably have like 26, 27, 28, with maybe one of them being where Texas Tech is. So I think I'd move Syracuse and Wisconsin up one and bump one of those to 25. I think Boston College might have peaked under Steve Adazio, but I'm not sure yet.
Yeah, that Boston College defense always keeps them in games, keeps them in check. They always play some pretty good
competition. Yeah, they have A.J. Dillon, so that's a good run game.
But, yeah, of course.
Yeah, so I think that wraps it up for your top 25. Let us know on Twitter what you thought of Mike's top 25. I think we're going to release mine next week. And I think we're doing questions next, right?
Yeah.
All right. So, yeah, let us know what you think of his top 25 on Twitter. And
all right. So now we'll take some of our follower questions here. Our first question comes from Nathan Rod, 2413. Will Rutgers beat Ohio State this upcoming season?
Is that a joke?
I don't know. Is it?
I would hope it isn't, because that's not ever going to happen.
I would say ever, but not this year.
Not in a very, very long time.
When you're editing this, do you think you can edit in like a Mike Francesco, like, what?
I can do that, yeah.
Yeah, okay, cool. Throw one of those in there. But, yeah, that's pretty much my reaction to that.
Oh, what do you mean, no?
So our next question is from at @AdrianKnows_. Should we keep the second National Signing Day? You know, like, we have the early signing day period now and the signing day in February still. So, Birdie, you want to start us off this one?
I think signing day is kind of – I mean, I'm not going to say it's lost its importance because majority of the players don't do what I'm about to say. But there, I feel like there's a lot of guys, especially this year, who have made a commitment and then shortly thereafter, before even stepping on campus, decided that they were going to enter the transfer portal. So – I still think for majority of the times that signing day is important for these kids. So I think keeping two is good because there's a high percentage of these kids make a commitment, stay where they're going, and it's still their day. You know, end of the day, these kids are making a decision for not only themselves but their family. So I think giving these kids a little bit of an extra chance to decide what they want to do, to make sure they're positive, isn't a terrible idea. So I think two is pretty good idea. I think they should keep rocking with that.
All right, so I actually have a pretty strong opinion on this one. I think that we should keep two, but if we were to get rid of one, get rid of traditional signing day and just keep the early signing day and then have like a signing period after where like once that signing day is over, you're free to sign like at any time after that day. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like anytime after like the December signing period, like you could sign if you want to. Also, I think the thing with early signing day is, like, commits who don't sign on early signing day in December, like, how committed are you? Like, you had a chance to, like, lock in and, like, sign with the school and you don't do it, like, that kind of worries me. Like, I don't know how I feel about that.
I mean, when you're looking at something like National Signing Day 2, I think it's a good idea because you're asking a 16, 17-year-old kid to figure out where they want to be for 4 years of their life. Like, some of those kids don't even know what they're going to have for lunch the next day. Like, I'm not saying, you know what I mean. They yeah. don't think ahead. Like, they're not going to think ahead that far in advance. So, by doing that, it gives these kids a chance to think about, like, what they want to do. They don't have to be rushed into something that they don't necessarily know what they want to do yet. So, National Signing Day, too, it also helps for, like, under-recruited kids. So, like, kids that didn't get the exposure right away, then they finally get the exposure they need.
Well, no, see, I agree that that's a really good point. Like, once all the kids that sign in, like, December or whatever, there's still 2 months left to recruit. And, like, if a lot of kids are already signed with schools, like, they're off the board and the teams, like, look deeper down, like, their recruiting board and say, like, hey, maybe we should give this guy a second look. Like, and, like, that happens, which is...
Yeah, that's my next point was going to be.
Yeah, that's a pretty good point. And then also, I think having 2 sign days is, like, the ideal thing because, like, if you're ready to sign in December, cool, you could sign. You know, you shut, like, the process down or whatever. And if not, like, you still have 2 more months to think about it. So I think that's pretty ideal.
Yeah, I think we pretty much agree on that one.
All right, so our next question. Uh-oh. I lost.
We've lost it.
Classic.
No more questions. We're wrapping it up.
I did seem to lose the questions link. That did happen. What is going on? FaceTime. Can someone emphasize it? I don't know where it went.
I will pull it up. Don't worry,
buddy.
I found it.
All right.
This is what goes on in behind the scenes of the podcast. A lot of losing stuff in the group chat.
Classic.
Right. So I've got it. Our next question is from at bgomes024, another Rutgers question. Because, I mean, a lot of people say we talk about Rutgers a lot, but, like, a majority of our followers are Rutgers fans because, you know, they are local. Although this guy is wearing an Oregon jersey in his Twitter picture, and he's in Outson, so that's...
But let me add to that before we even get to the question just about the Rutgers thing, because I did see people say that we talk about Rutgers too much. In the early days of the account, me and John did have, like, a serious conversation, like, hey, like, where do we want to go with this? Do we want this to be a, you know, national coverage page, or do we want this to be a, you know, a Rutgers page? Do we want to try and be, like, the big Rutgers media outlet? And obviously, you guys have seen what direction we've gone with that. So that's really where majority of our Rutgers talk comes from, because we're local to Rutgers. We know a lot about Rutgers. I'm a diehard Rutgers fan. John's a Rutgers fan, along with Oregon, so, and Mike's in the area. So that's, if you guys are wondering why the hell these guys talk about Rutgers so much, it's literally because we're half an hour from Rutgers, and, you know, but I just wanted to give the background for the people who are wondering why we get talked so much about a 2-win team.
All right, 0-win team. so at bgomes024, Brian Gomez, he said, do you think Chris Ash should be on the hot seat? I get it, RU made the jump to a Power 5 conference, but there's enough talent in New Jersey, PA, to compete in the Big Ten, and his recruiting just isn't cutting it. Or does Rutgers need more than just a recruiter, et cetera, updated facilities? So I actually want to start on this one because I have, like, a passionate answer about this.
Yeah, and I'll go second because I also have one because of, yeah.
So he actually replied to someone. He said he's not sure if there's no expectations at Rutgers. If Rutgers can get the elite Jersey kids to stay in state, they'd be much more competitive and worthy of being in the Big Ten. And he kind of said my answer. I think that should be on the hot seat. It should be warm. I wouldn't say he's, like, guaranteed to be fired, but I'd probably say, like, 60% chance to start the season that he's fired by the end of the season, maybe 70. I think that there is a lot of talent in the state, but the problem is bigger programs know there's talent in New Jersey, and pretty much everyone comes into New Jersey and grabs all these recruits, and Rutgers gets left with the scraps. I think that Ash, maybe the kids aren't believing in him right now. And, I mean, the facilities are getting updated. They got new locker rooms this year. There's a lot of donors now, right now. Like, Jeff Towers, he follows on Twitter. He gave Rutgers, like, $3 million last year, I think, for these locker rooms. The Hale Center is pretty nice. So I don't think it's facilities. I think they just need, like, a recruiter. Like, every big program has a great recruiter. Ohio State has Larry Johnson for the defensive line. He got Nick Boza, Joey Boza, Chase Young. Oregon has Dante Williams. He recruits, like, all their DBs. And, I mean, you see how that's gone for Oregon. So I think maybe Rutgers just needs to hire, like, a slam dunk recruiter.
Yeah, and I agree with you a lot of things, especially with the facilities. Like, it's not like Rutgers has no facilities. Like, they have very good facilities. They've always had good facilities. I mean, I've been on campus, like, a lot, and I've seen the facilities in all sports. So I think that they're doing their due diligence when it comes to that. So I think Ash is solely on the hot seat because of performance. And like what you just said, like, everyone in the country knows that New Jersey is a top five state for high school football. We've actually talked about this. We talked about this the other night, actually, me and John. Uh-huh. So everyone knows that. So that's why, especially the Big Ten schools, will reach in and grab guys out who are eager to go play for a winning program right away. It's harder to sell a 17 and 18 year old kid rebuilding a franchise, but rebuilding a brand. Because, you know, if I'm a 17 year old kid, I don't want to be a part of a 2-win team. I don't want to be a part of a, you know, of a process. I want to be in a team that's established. So, like you said, with recruiters, you know, there are a couple things they need to, you know, they need to improve on some things. I don't think they're as bad off as everyone thinks they are. I mean, they're pretty bad off. But there's hope in this program. I think that with the right people, they can keep guys around. I'm not expecting them to keep all the five stars in the state, but if they could pick out a couple, like, you know, one a year, maybe two a year, and keep some correct guys home who can impact the program right away, those are the kind of guys who I think can come in and, you know, Rutgers won't be the laughing stock, and they can win games that, you know, maybe they're losing by two touchdowns or, you know, less.
One thing I did want to say is, like, I forgot to add this when I was talking, but before his first season coming in, Rutgers did grab, like, top-tier talent. Like, they brought in Bo Melton, who was a four-star. They brought in Micah Clark, who was a high four-star offensive tackle. I mean, he hasn't done much at Rutgers. They moved him to defense this year. But he had offers from Alabama, Georgia, LSU, USC. He had offers from everyone in the country, and they pulled him away from them. So I think that he's not a bad recruiter. It's just, it's hard to sell the product on the field right now. And, I mean, pulling in Art, too, even though he got benched at IMG Academy, there's only so many four-star quarterbacks out there, and he did get one on campus. So I think he does okay at recruiting, just not the best.
I mean, I forget who tweeted this, but he kind of answered his own question in the tweet when he said, I quote, I get it, Rutgers made the jump to a Power 5, but there's enough talent in New Jersey, Pennsylvania to compete in the Big Ten, and it's recruiting just isn't cutting it. It's tough to recruit in the Big Ten when you're the bottom floor of the Big Ten. So he's got to sell a product that no other Big Ten school is going to sell a recruit. You know what I mean? It's tough.
Yeah, I agree, because, I mean, you're a Penn State fan, and you know, like, I mean, Penn State's probably, like, one of the better teams in the Big Ten, and even Penn State struggles to out-recruit Ohio State sometimes, which, like...
Penn State has all that tradition and all that legacy behind it.
And Penn State has a lot of New Jersey guys on their roster.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, but I'm just saying, like...
Gesicki was a New Jersey guy.
Barkley was a New Jersey guy.
New Jersey guy.
Yeah.
Ex-Rutgers commit.
You had to throw that in there, didn't you?
Of course. Yeah, I was going to throw that in there.
Yeah, but I'm just saying, just speaking to, like, how... like, how hard it is to recruit in the Big Ten. Like, Penn State's probably a top 25 program, like, historically, and they struggle to out-recruit Ohio State sometimes. And
they're Michigan. This coming recruiting class, they have the fourth recruiting class in the Big Ten. Like,
yeah, it's hard to recruit in the Big Ten. All right, so I think we pretty much covered that question. So to go back to our questions now, which is a process, so here we go. Our next question is right here. It is from, I scroll down the replies, from Darren Francis 92. Which two teams besides Bama and Clemson have the best chance to play each other for the national championship this season? Lynn, do you want to start us off with this one?
Yeah, so for me, it was it's going to be whoever wins the Big Ten versus whoever wins the Big 12. So basically, it would be between Michigan, Penn State, and Ohio State, and then the winner of Texas and Oklahoma. You can even throw Georgia in there, but they would have to obviously beat Alabama in their conference championship game. So whoever comes out of that, they're gonna go into the championship. Other than those two teams,
yeah. All right, you want to go first, Matt?
Yeah, I agree. I put Georgia because if Georgia was to win the SEC outright, they'd have to beat Alabama, and that obviously would be enough to put them into the playoffs. And I think they would win the first round of the playoffs against most teams. Other than that, I think you were right with the Big 12. Maybe Oregon / Washington, whoever comes out of the pack, if they have a pretty flawless record, bearing any bad losses. But I think I'd have to give my betting dollar to a Big 12 team, whether it's Texas or Oklahoma, whichever team has less losses at the end of the season, whoever looks better. I think that Georgia, like I said, if they beat Alabama, win the SEC, that's pretty much a straight bid for them. And I think Georgia's a good enough team to get through. Oklahoma or Texas, I think they're one of those teams that could also get through and get into the finals and get into the championship game. And like I said, with the Pac-12, because the ACC doesn't have anybody but Clemson. And then obviously Alabama is everyone's pride and joy. Not everyone's pride and joy, but everyone's favorite to make it back to the national championship game.
All right. So for me, I would have SEC team not named Georgia. I think that in this scenario, if Alabama was to lose, I don't think they'd lose to Georgia. I think it would be because they lost to LSU during the regular season. So I think that I would have LSU versus Oklahoma or Texas. So my playoff would be, it would be LSU versus Big 12 champion.
See, I just think LSU plays like way too tough of a schedule, and they're not like that dominant of a team.
They're not that good of an offense either.
Yeah, but here's my thing. They play LSU week two. So I have, if LSU was to beat Texas week two, then it'd be LSU Oklahoma in the playoffs.
Yeah, so, that makes sense.
Take that for data.
No, I just think they play such a tough schedule that I can see them losing three games. I think three losses, you're not getting yourself into the playoff.
Nope, three losses you're not. But if you beat Alabama and you beat Texas at Texas, which both of those would be away game wins, so those are very strong wins.
Even if they lose two games, Alabama would have to drop another game.
Yeah, all right, whatever. it's a hypothetical. We're not going to get into this. You guys are probably right. I just wanted to be a little different. I want to give the same chalk answer.
I like it.
Okay, so our next question would be, what should America, from Isaac here, what should the American Conference do next year when they kick UConn football team out?
Celebrate.
Mike, you want to start this one off?
Other than celebrate. So I would believe they would obviously look to add another team. So I have a couple options. One of them would be to add App State to the American. Another would be to add either Rutgers or Maryland.
Never heard of them.
And then even another option would be to have Louisville go.
Never happened.
American.
They wouldn't leave. I could see that one. I could see Louisville leaving more than I could see Rutgers or Maryland leaving. But I think App State was probably, like, you hit the nail on the head. I had App State, too. I don't know. Maybe they'll add UCLA because UCLA is trying to, like, move to the East Coast for some reason. All right, Matt, what do you think?
I agree with App State. That's, like, a really good team for them to put in there. They're probably a team who would do well in there. I don't think the other two choices made very much sense with the other three, actually. Rutgers and Maryland are not leaving the Big Ten. Rutgers will make way too much money on the Big Ten to leave to go to the American.
Yeah, if they ever get their full share of revenue, yeah.
It would be a complete step backwards because they're not that great of a football team now. I don't think they would be a 7-win team in the American.
What?
I don't think so. They would lose to UCF. I think they'd lose to Memphis.
Yeah, in the early years, yeah. I don't know, though.
No, I don't think Louisville leaves the ACC either. I think Louisville in 3 years will be good.
All right, so my thing is I think the American either adds App State or they stay at 11. I think UConn might be addition by subtraction.
Yeah.
So getting rid of UConn, they're probably like, oh, yeah, now we have one less laughing stock of a team.
11 is a good number. It's not like they have 8 teams.
Yeah. All right, so our next question.
I got to add something.
What if they pick up Army?
That's what I was going to say. What if they pick up Army?
Oh, I actually had this in my other notes. I deleted them because I thought they were stupid. I had Buffalo.
They would just pick up an independent, maybe. I had other than Buffalo, Notre Dame.
Maybe leaving the MAC for the American.
I see that.
Yeah. Also, UMass or an Army.
Yeah, I would like a UMass or an Army. That would work well.
I don't know if UMass has, like, I don't know. Maybe, yeah, maybe. All right, so our next question is from Keith Peel, and he says, where does the missing sock go whenever I do the laundry? I know it was there when I put it in.
All right, Keith, I want you to do me a favor, buddy. I saw this on Facebook, so it has to be true. There's, like, a little cubby in the dryer. It's right on top of the door. And I saw this picture. This lady took, like, 15 pair of socks out of there. And I actually asked the same question today because, and before anyone rips me, remind you that we are young kids. I'm 20 years old. I don't live on my own. I walked downstairs to my mom. I said, listen, my socks come downstairs every day, and I get one pair back. I get one pair back a week. Where do they go? Are they missing? What's going on with that? So I think if you open the dryer and reach around, I think they're hiding on you, buddy. You'll find them. I have faith in you.
My world is spinning right now. I thought I was the only one who loses, like, pairs of socks. Like, it feels like the drawer just dwindles. Like, my socks just keep going down.
Dude, it's especially hard because, like, I wear ankle socks now. I think I've had this theory. Once you turn, like, 20, like, ankle socks become cool. I haven't worn tube socks in so long. And my dad also, because he's older than 20, wears ankle socks.
I would hope your dad's older than 20.
Yeah, it's a crazy world we live in. But I think there are some times that he gets my socks. So also, Keith, if you live with another male in your house, or even a female if she has big feet, who wears we gotta look at all the possibilities. Check their sock drawer because they might be in there. Keep your eye on your dog or cat or some kind of pet at all times. We're in this battle together. You know, everyone loses socks and no one knows where they go. I'm just giving you some insight where to look for them.
I cannot believe you actually had an answer for that, like a full. Oh man, that was a great answer though. All right, so our last question is from Austin Katib, and he said, "Will USC win another national championship?"
Well, I can tell you it's not going to be this year.
So I think he means ever, which I'm going to be inclined to say yes. Even though I hate USC as an Oregon fan, I think they have all the resources and, like, they have, like, in their backyard tons of talent in LA. So I think eventually, yeah, they do win a national championship again.
I mean, they definitely have the recruiting tools and everything. All the necessities, they're there. Like, all the intangibles, they're there. They're in Southern California. They have a boatload of money. It's a beautiful school. It's a beautiful stadium. It's a perfect program. It's just, can they get the right players and can they get the guys to focus and can they get the right coach to make sure they focus?
Hold on. Yeah. Hold on.
Well, what are we holding?
You mean to tell me that USC is in Southern California?
Breaking news.
You started the sentence with they're in Southern California.
Yes.
The University of Southern California is in Southern California. Nice.
I was just saying that located in Southern California.
I have heard rumors, and I'm not sure if it's true,
that University UCLA of
is in Los Angeles.
I mean, it could be the university closest to the Lincroft area, too.
See, people from around the country won't understand that.
Brookdale Community College is actually trying to join the American.
They're actually the UCLA trying to join the ACC.
I can't believe it, dude. When I saw that, I could not believe that UCLA was trying to join the ACC. I don't understand what they don't understand about the Atlantic Coastal Conference, but I guess they're trying to turn into the All-Coast Conference.
It's like
I think we should talk about that real quick because that is like
Missouri and the SEC, though.
Let's talk about that real quick.
It's the same thing.
All right, what do you want to talk about?
The UCLA wanting to travel across the country for after a rogue conference games. When I saw that headline, first of all, I didn't think it was real. I thought it was like an Onion Post. I thought there was no way that I'm going to read this article and there's going to be like one guy said something like, oh, we should join the ACC because there's not many good teams. But like, I didn't think that it was going to be a serious conversation, like that this guy sat down and was like talking his peers and was like, listen,
bro, he's a booster. He's their biggest booster. Like he actually has like say in the program.
Yeah. Okay. But like they need to reconsider because this guy's plan was we are in as now we know Los Angeles. Let's go play in Boston for a conference game on the road. And let's make our fans, half our conference games that are on the road, they're going to have to dish out like $600 to get there.
Like, that's not including hotel, bud.
Yeah, I don't know. I think it was just stupid. Me and John would know.
We're traveling across the country.
Yeah, we're going to Eugene. But I think that it's going to be – I think it was just more of a – they were trying to insult the Pac-12 by saying, hey, we actually don't want to be here so bad because they hate Larry Scott, who's the Pac-12 commissioner, if you guys didn't know. They hate him so much. They're going to say, hey, listen, we hate you so much. We're going to look into a conference all the way across the country.
Just think about that. They jumped over the Mountain West, Big 12, and parts of the SEC. And we're like, no, we're going all the way. Of course, they might as well play in like that Chinese football league. Could you imagine?
Oh, the Japanese football league?
If they played in the Japanese football league, dude, their games are at like 4 o'clock in the morning.
So the University of Penn, University of Pennsylvania, not Penn State, played the China Football All-Stars, and they beat them 85-0.
Oh, I heard about that.
UCLA would be nice.
UCLA would be, like, the undefeated, like, world champions of the China Football League. But
they'd shut out every team.
Probably, yeah.
Rutgers joined that league.
They'd actually win.
God, I hate you guys. All right, so just two more things I just want to talk about quick. One thing I want to talk about is, did you guys see what Terry Bradshaw said about Sam Ellinger?
I did.
Did you see what Terry, what he looked like when he said it?
Dude, he was sweating so much, like, and he was getting so passionate. And then when he said, he ain't that good, I was like, oh my God, dude.
I watched that video, and like the first time I saw it, I was like, wow, this man was sitting in a bar in Austin. And they were like, hey, Terry. Oh, no, he wasn't even in Austin. He was in Louisiana because he was a La Tech. And, yeah, why would he say that? But he was in a bar where Louisiana Tech's campus is. And he said, hey, Terry, want to come talk about some things? And he's like, I got something, a bone to pick with them boys in Texas. And he got on stage and just ripped Ellinger for no reason.
All right, so you guys are going to love this. But so Paul Feinbaum just said the ACC outside of Clemson is a clown show.
You know, you shut up, Paul.
So I tweeted it, and the first reply is, F that guy. Has he dug his nose out of Stephen's sack yet?
Oh, my God. Oh, wait, out of whose? I lost you for a second. Out of whose sack?
He said, F that guy. He dug his nose out of Saban's clammy sack yet?
That's
a
good one.
Like, so funny. Because, like, people, like, there are people who, like my dad, like very much enjoys Feinbaum. And then there's people where if you bring up that name, they're like, Paul, shut up, Paul. He don't know nothing about college football. All he knows is Alabama football. Paul Feinbaum, he don't know none. He don't know none. They don't play nobody, Paul.
No, see, that's all the Georgia fans. They call in, and, like, their teeth are like, you know, like they're half in, and they're like, So I actually saw another. I saw a joke the other day, and it said, "How do you know that toothpaste was invented in SEC territory?" And it said, "If it was anywhere else, it'd be toothpaste." And I was like, "Oh my
god!" If you thought the Ole Miss fans hated us before, wait till they hear this.
You guys are terrible.
I think that pretty much wraps it up there, right? That's all we got.
Yeah, that's all the great questions we got. So Keith, if you find your socks, let us know, buddy.
Also, we have the Caleb Fossum interview.
Yeah, that's what I was going to jump into. So we have the interview with this week. We had Mikey Mitchell on last week. We're gonna have Caleb Fossum on this week. He's at Nevada. Really good interview. Really cool guy. We really enjoyed having him on. Nah,
dude, he's a bro. Like, his interview was so fresh.
He was a bro. Like, it actually felt like we were like talking to one of our boys, and we actually had no clue this kid was prior to it. Like, we never talked to him. But hope you guys enjoy that one. We'll catch you on the flip side of that interview. All right, so today we have on with us Nevada Wolfpack receiver and redshirt senior Caleb Fossum. Thanks for coming on, Caleb.
Yeah, thanks for having me, guys. Really appreciate it. Happy to be on.
Oh, happy to have you on, man. All right, so I don't know if you ever see us on the account tweeting, but there's one thing that we tweet about frequently, and it's our love for Mike Leach. I think a lot of people love Mike Leach. And we got to know, like, what was Coach Leach like? Like, as a coach person, like, just Give us the whole spectrum of Coach Leach.
Dude, so, like, you know, Coach Leach, he's a cool dude, man. He's definitely, like, next to the Dos Equis dude, like, the most interesting man in the world. You know, I used to be up there. I had a late class my sophomore year, so I'd eat lunch a little late. And he'd always be up there. He always had cameras following around and stuff. And he'd eat lunch with me sometimes. And just like, random conversations, not even much about football. He doesn't really talk much about football, you know, when you're with him. It's more like... He told me, he asked me what I wanted to do, and at the time, I was like, you know, I'm thinking about joining the fire department at the time, and he goes, oh, that's funny, I used to be a lifeguard, and I used to, like, teach people how to swim and give, like, celebrity swimming lessons, and I'm like, what, dude? Like, you know, just, like, he just has a weird, crazy story. you know, he's an awesome dude, though. He's a great coach. Yeah, he has, like, you know, his thing with pirates. He has, like, his thing. He has, like, a life-size pirate in his office.
So one of the things I saw about the class that he actually taught, I think it was in the spring, maybe.
Yeah.
Had to be in the spring. Was the final project he had kids in the class draw up trick plays that he's actually going to use in the upcoming season. Does that surprise you at Leach, like, that he would do something like that?
No, not at all, because he's very open. You know, he's had his offense for such a long time, but he likes to add wrinkles and do cool stuff. And, you know, I if you watch the Washington State games the last couple of years, they've done this stuff where, like, they scatter before the play. You know what I mean? They have people line up in different places. So he adds a lot of wrinkles, and that's pretty cool. I mean, that's cool for the kid that won, or, you know, the student that won. They get to see their play get called, hopefully. That'd be awesome.
Yeah, could you imagine just, like, sitting watching the game and being like, wait, that's my play.
Hey, maybe it's the play that wins the Apple Cup. You know, you never know.
Oh, yeah, that'd be something. That'd be something.
All right, so you left Washington State because you needed a scholarship, right? Like, I read something like that about that.
Yeah, so out of high school, I was more of a baseball player out of high school, and then Coach Mealy called me from Washington State, told me I can come return some kicks. He's like, you know, you'll be my punt and kick returner if you work hard enough. You'll play as a freshman. I was like, cool. So I got a preferred walk-on spot there, and then, you know, the conversation was hopefully to earn a scholarship, you know, within 2 years, and it just didn't end up working out, you know, the money situation. And then, so I would just shut up with them. I'm like, I can't afford school anymore, man. I got to go find somewhere, you know, that's going to help me pay for school. And Nevada was that school. And, you know, there's no hard feelings. I still talk to those coaches at Washington State, you know, every once in a while we stay in touch. So a lot of good dudes over there.
All right. So my next question for you would be, what was it like winning the Pac-12 Special Teams Player of the Week?
That was awesome. I mean, that's a day I'll never forget, you know, that play. It's kind of funny because people talk about, like, visualization and all that kind of stuff. And literally that morning, you know, before the game, I like to wake up early, and it was a night game, but I wake up early and I do, like, my little visualization stuff in the shower. I'm like, you know, and the first thing I thought about was, like, you know, Cal getting the ball and they go 3 and out. Now they got to punt it to me. And I was literally talking myself through it. Like, I'm going to score a touchdown. And as soon as he kicked it, you know, I felt it. And, it was the best moment of my life so far in football. It was awesome, and it was a really, really cool honor to receive.
Yeah, actually, I watched that play, like, when you DM'd us and said, like, are you, like, ready? I was, like, literally watching that play, and I was like, damn.
So yeah, what did it like being back there on, like, on a return? Because, I mean, you have your heads up, you're looking, you're not seeing what's coming at you. Like, is that, like, the scariest moment, like, when you're about to catch and you don't know what's about to hit you?
Yeah, absolutely. I'm kind of an adrenaline junkie when it comes to that stuff. Like, I love punt returning. I love, you know, I love the heartbeat I get, man. When right before the play, right before it snapped, you know, I'm kind of, you get a little nervous, you get those butterflies, you think about those what ifs. And then as soon as that ball is in the air, like, your focus just goes straight to what your job is to do. And that's to catch the ball and get upfield, you know. And at that moment, you know, Coach Mealy had a great return call for them. You know, we knew Cal liked to leave the middle open a little bit, so we had a middle return. And as you can see on the play, you know, those guys blocked their butts off. All I had to do was run straight and make one cut. And, you know, we had a really, really good special teams at that point in time. But, yeah, I love punt returning, man. There's something about, you know, like I said, the adrenaline when you're back there and you're just kind of on an island. And it's just trust with those dudes in front of you that they're going to do their job, and they usually do, and you just got to do yours.
Yeah, yeah, that's I returned punts once as a freshman in high school, and it was terrifying. Like, I never wanted to do it again. Like, it was just I couldn't do it.
Yeah, it's there's definitely a chosen few. I think it chooses you more than you choose it, you know. And I don't know what it was. It was kind of my knack my senior year in high school. I just kind of I kind of ran with it. I struggled the year before, actually. I fumbled a couple times in high school, and I didn't like it. And then one game, I kept letting them bounce, and my coach was like, dude, if you don't return this punt, like, I'm going to pull you. Like, you're not going to return punts anymore. So then literally that game, I had four punt returns for touchdowns that game because I just said, screw it, I'm not going to fair catch. I'm not going to let it bounce anymore. And I kind of just took off running after that game in high school.
So being at Nevada, probably in the last 10 years, they're obviously the most famous football alum would probably be Kaepernick. Yeah. And now being that, like, he's, you know, working out, trying to get a comeback, or has been, has he ever showed up to campus or any, like, showed up to, like, work out or anything with you guys?
No, we get that. I get that question a lot, actually, you know, wearing the Nevada stuff. And now he's definitely a huge alumni. He's there's a poster of him in our weight room. You know, he's all over the campus. People wear Kaepernick jerseys all over the place. So he's definitely, like you said, our biggest alum, and probably next to Nate Burleson, who's a really big one too. But no, I don't think he does much with interacting with Nevada and stuff. He hasn't been around since I've been here. So I usually don't hear much about him, honestly.
So I was just looking through your Twitter before. Do you play baseball in Nevada?
Yeah, I did, actually. I knew of Coach Bruce out of high school. And a couple of the kids from my high school team, El Toro, is a really good baseball school I went to. And two of my teammates are on the team here. And actually, when I got hurt, when I first came up here, I blew out my kneecap. I had surgery, and I was going through rehab, and I would walk through the weight room, and I'd see Coach Bruce, the baseball coach. And he kept pulling me aside and asking me, like, dude, you should come play. Just come walk on. And I was like, I don't know. And then finally, I just said, you know, I'll give it a try. And I went out for about half the season. And then when spring ball rolled around again for football, you know, they wanted me to focus on football, but I was on the team for, you know, up until like halfway in the conference. And it was an awesome experience. I love the baseball team. They're good dudes, great coaching staff. I'm really happy I was a part of that program.
That's actually pretty cool playing the two sports stuff. I mean, I actually, funnily enough, never played football that much. I just enjoy watching the sport, but I played baseball. I played a year in college, and then, awesome. But so like, I can only imagine like, the schedule going with also with football, like, because you guys lift during the spring, right, with football,
obviously? Yeah, so it was kind of a weird deal. I worked out, like, the first week was brutal. I tried to make both lists and stuff, and then Coach Norvell, my football coach, was super cool about it. I was like, you know what, man, just go have fun and enjoy baseball, you know what I mean? And so he pretty much let me off the leash, and I was full-time with baseball. But their strength coach was also a football strength coach, Coach Ardrey at the time. Shout out to him. He was a huge deal for me because he got me through my rehab and he got my knee healthy. And so working with him was awesome. So I pretty much was just working with him the whole time. So he got me ready for football as well. It was a cool little deal they did for me. And the baseball coaches were real lenient with me too. And it was awesome. They treated me awesome. And I love those guys. I made some good friends on there. And like I said, I was with some old teammates from my high school. So it was awesome, man. They're a real fun team.
Yeah, and just like a quick thing, like people who are listening are probably just like, oh, Nevada, because a lot of people don't realize, like, Division One baseball, I feel like, has more of a continuity than Division One football. And that's just for me watching it. I mean, Nevada this year had, like, what, three guys drafted, maybe, I think it was? Three guys?
Yeah, they had a stud, two pitchers. Ryan Anderson's a big lefty. I think he's at the Yankees. He's a stud, and then Grant Ford got to the Pirates. He throws Chet. He was a closer this year. And then Jalen McLaughlin got drafted, but he's come back for his senior year, which is huge. Then a kid that went to my high school, Josh Zamora, is a third baseman. He's a stud. He rakes, man. He hits a lot of home runs. He's always on base, a great third baseman. So, and then you could say, you know, like you said, baseball and lifting, but, man, those kids got after it. They didn't take it lightly. They worked their butts off. A lot of guys stayed after. And baseball is a different grind, man. I was trying to tell the football guys, like, man, you don't understand, like, pitchers, we run, you know what I'm saying? Like,
oh, yeah, you pitched?
Yeah, I pitched. I'm a pitcher.
Oh, I wish. I was right-handed. I know the grind, though, of running.
Yeah, dude, man, those triangles and all the pulls, and we did a bunch of running. And you know, baseball practice is different. It's more mental, man. You're just out there for long days. And, you know, so it's a grind for sure. That season's no joke. And the traveling was brutal, too, man. They're gone. Our first travel trip, we were gone for, like, 14 days, you know, so – you're making up schoolwork, and it's just, so, you know, my hat's off to those guys, man. They worked their butts off, and they had a really good season this year, so.
All right, so to transition back to football, what can we expect from the Jungle Boys this season?
The Jungle Boys, man, you know, we're going to tear up the jungle. I think we're the most experienced we've been at this school. We got all of our guys coming back. We got some studs, man. You know, Ben Putman stepped up huge in the bowl game and pretty much saved the game for us. And he went off, and we got two great outside guys right now starting. You know, Cookie, Elijah Cooks. You know, he goes up and gets those fades. He's a good deep ball guy. Same with Romeo Dubs on the other side. He's great route runner, good stuff. And then we got a bunch of utility guys, like, you know, Dom Christian had a huge bowl game as well. And he could play both inside and outside. And Brendan O'Leary Orange is 6'4", you know, 225, runs a 4'4", you know.
It's an awesome name.
He touches the ball. Yeah, so we just got a lot of weapons right now, you know, and we got a lot of freshmen coming in. And, you know, there's a quarterback battle going on, but whoever gets the job, you know, has a great supporting cast. You know, our running back, Toa Taua, and we got a great backfield behind him, too, as well. There's not just, like, for sure starters, you know, everybody – on our receiving core, as to our running backs can play anywhere. Yeah, I mean, it's just, it's a bunch of starters, you know, playing at the same time. It's awesome. So, our offense is going to be dialed in, man. I'm excited.
Yeah, right. I think in the offseason, like, he's in the quarterback battle.
I'm sorry, can you repeat that? It broke up a little bit.
Oh, sorry. I said Malik Henry. He transferred in, right, in the quarterback battle.
Yeah. So Malik Henry, he came in the spring, before spring. He transferred in. I know the big deal about him from the, you know, Last Chance U show, and I watched it. He's been a great kid, man, since he's been here. He's had zero problems. He's been working, you know, he's been doing his thing. And, you know, Chris Solano's one of my good friends. He's been working his butt off, staying out after throwing, extra in the weight room. You know, we call him Modelo, you know what I mean? He's working on his summer bod right now. He's getting after it, man. And we got a young kid too, Carson Strong, who's a stud, and he's smart and knows how to whip it. So, I mean, we got a good battle, and I'm really excited for fall camp, honestly. You know, I'm excited to watch these guys battle it out.
Our last question for you, and this one's, like, kind of sentimental for you, I guess.
Yeah.
What was it like dedicating last season to your friend Tyler Helinski and having a great season in his honor?
You know, man, it meant the world to me. You know, I'm in my room right now, actually. I have the letter his parents sent me, and I have the number 3 up. And, you know, he was next to me in the locker room at Washington State. And he was one of the first friends I made up there. And so I just, you know, I wasn't with all my boys. I wasn't with my class, you know, when I transferred. When that went down, I just thought about all my friends and called my boy Hunter and Trey and just talked to him. I talked to, you know, my old roommate Kyle Sweet. We just talked to a lot of stuff, and I just thought, you know, what could I do to honor him in my own way? And I like to, you know, I asked Coach back where the number 3, and he said absolutely. And you know, I just felt like, you know, he watched over me this season. You know what I mean? I was battling my knee coming back, and I just felt like he was with me, man, a lot of the way, and he touched a lot of hearts. And I just wanted to bring the positive vibe and positive attitude that he brought. Because if you knew that kid, man, he'd light up anybody. He made the bad days good. You know what I'm saying? And the good days better. He was just always in a good mood, always laughing and smiling. And you know, me and him had a good bond because, you know, coming up as a walk on, especially, he was the backup, so we were, you know, going together a lot. Like, I'd go with the third, second team, whatever, and he'd go at quarterback, so I was with him a lot in 7-on-7 and Thursday night football scrimmages and stuff like that. And so he was my guy, man. And you know, we miss him, we love him, but you know, we're just trying to do everything we can to honor him.
Yeah, that's great stuff. I mean, I saw, like, I was looking at your stats, and like, you had an awesome season last year. Like, I think he had like 700 yards, so like, that's pretty cool to do in his honor.
Yeah, absolutely, man. It was cool. I'm glad I could do that for him. And like I said, his family was is a great family. His brother, his little brother's a stud. You know, he plays quarterback at South Carolina, and just a great family. His older brother, his family, just good people, man. So I'm glad I could do that.
All right. So our last thing, we've done this with all of our guests. We're gonna give you 10 teams, and okay, we're gonna see if you can guess the the mascot or look like
nickname. The nickname.
Nickname. Yeah, nickname.
The mascot or nickname.
No, the nickname.
So, like, if we said Nevada, you'd say Wolfpack.
Okay. All right. Is this college teams?
Yeah, just college teams. They go everywhere from Group of 5 to Power 5s.
Okay. All right. I'm ready. Let's see what
we just keep a running score. So far, the highest score is 7 out of 10.
Okay.
No. I think Kelvin was 9.
Was he? Oh yeah, he was 9. Okay.
Yeah, Kelvin. Yeah, so
the Army quarterback. I don't want to disappoint.
All right, so I'll start it off. Well, first couple ones are pretty easy. Texas Tech.
Red Raiders.
Yep. Duke.
Devils. Blue Devils.
Yep, Blue Devils, yeah. Florida Atlantic University.
Ooh, Owls?
Yeah, that's a tough one. Wisconsin.
Badgers.
Yep. South Carolina.
Gamecocks.
Florida International University.
Ooh. Is that Owls as well?
No, they're the Panthers.
Panthers. Oh, all right.
Charlotte.
Charlotte? I don't know Charlotte.
The 49ers.
The 49ers, really?
Yeah, it's a random one. Utah.
Utah, the Utes.
Yep. Tulane.
That's the wave, right? Big wave?
Yeah, green wave. I'll give you the green wave, yeah. And then last one's fairly easy, Virginia.
Ooh, the – oh, my God. Virginia – oh, my.
Oh, no.
I was going to say they're not the – they're the Miners, right?
Oh. Nah, Cavaliers.
Cavaliers. Damn.
7 out of 10.
Damn. It's all right. That's not terrible.
No, it's not bad. At least you don't have to say you got the worst score.
Yeah, honestly, that's all I was worried about, man. I like to win, but that was tough.
Yeah, so you're now tied for second best, so it's not.
You know, it's all right. I'll work on it next time. I got to do my studying.
Yeah. All right, Caleb. Once again, man, thanks for coming on. Best of luck in the upcoming season. We'll definitely be on the lookout for some of the, you know, the late night West Coast games.
Yeah, I appreciate it, man. Thank you very much for having me on, and really enjoyed it. So have a good rest of your day, boys. Thank you.
You too.
Thanks.
All right, so you guys just heard the interview with Caleb Awesome. You know, like me and John said, that's probably one of our coolest interviews. He was a really cool dude. It didn't even feel like we were interviewing some guy we had never met face-to-face before. It seemed like we were interviewing a friend. So shout out to him for coming on, providing us with some great content. Next week, we'll be doing John's Top 25. Keep an eye out for the SEC East. That was cut short due to a technicality on our end. And also the Big 12 will be dropping on its own, so keep your eye out for that. And until next week, send us some good questions, guys. Thanks for tuning in.
All right, see you guys later.